chief information officers have one foot on a log. They have to deal with the fast-changing technology that underpins so many government operations, and at the same time, they need good management skills as high-level executives. The American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council, ACT-IACT, has a new study of what skills and duties future CIOs should have. Scott Cameron is executive advisor at R3 Solutions and led the study group. He joins us now. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Emily. How are you and Tom today?
Fine, thank you. So tell us a little bit about you, the people who did this study, and why you did it.
Okay. Well, there was a group as a part of the ACT-IAC organized in what's called the Human Capital Shared Interest Group, a group of employees of a number of consulting firms, IT firms in the Washington, D.C. area that serve the government. And we were approached a couple of years ago by the then CIO of the Department of State, who came to the group and said, we're trying to plan ahead over the next 4 or 5 years in the federal government, what the federal IT workforce is going to look like. And in particular, we're concerned about what skills, competencies, abilities the managers of federal IT are going to need. And would you go out and do a study, do a number of interviews of folks in the federal CIO community and see what they think the necessary IT manager competencies are going to look like in the future?
All right. So what are your top line findings? What skills will they need in the future?
Our top line findings are that they're going to have to be deal makers and relationship managers. Increasingly, the federal CIO community is not building and owning and operating its own technology. It's getting the data, the services, the technology it needs through the cloud, through third parties. And that means that the ability to manage relationships, manage contracts, is going to be increasingly important.
So do you see future CIOs as MBAs and coming from that school of thought, or people who come from more of an IT background?
Well, they're still going to need a really solid grounding in IT. So maybe the ideal combination would be a computer science major undergraduate, you know, with an MBA, something like that. So they're going to still need a very solid technical grounding, but interpersonal skills, the ability to build relationships with third parties, and often people over whom you've got relatively little control, you know, leveraging relationships with state governments, with other federal agencies, with local governments, folks with whom you need an effective cooperative relationship as opposed to folks you have a direct line authority over.
I guess my question is, who says? Did the CIOs themselves feel that way? Did industry feel that way? What were your kind of markers that you looked at to determine some of these findings?
The CIOs are saying this themselves, which is really interesting. We interviewed about a dozen CIOs of large cabinet agencies, relatively small independent agencies, and we even touched base with a couple of folks from the state government CIO community to see if things were at all different from the perspective of that world. So this is a message that's coming from the current senior leadership of the federal CIO community.
And did you candidly get a sense from these CIOs, these current CIOs, that they are looking at this and saying, wow, I wish I had these skills? Or is it more that they are looking at the pool of people and saying, I wish they were more like me?
I think what they're doing is they're looking back on a career that in most cases spans a series of decades. They're seeing how federal IT has changed over that time, particularly the institutional context of federal IT, and they're saying to themselves, what are we going to have to be able to do in 2020? What's going to make for an effective manager in 2020? And a lot of them, regardless of their personal histories, are trying to move themselves and their organizations in that direction.
Now, the IAC half of ACT-IAC is industry. It's the Industry Advisory Council. And so a lot of those members, well, most of them are tech companies. So presumably they have CIOs. And what was there any look at the private sector and current practices there that might have informed this latest report?
We did do a little bit of consultation internally with our own member organizations, but the real focus was on the federal government agencies. Of course, in the contracting world, you're in the position of having to understand what your federal agency client needs, how to effectively communicate with them what your capabilities are, and then to deliver your services on time and on budget. So the private sectors had a premium on many of these skills, just as the nature of the procurement process.
We're speaking with Scott Cameron, the executive advisor at R3 Government Solutions and chairman of the ACT IACT Human Capital Shared Interest Group. So would you say that in the private sector, the chief information officers are more savvy with those people skills, with relating with different groups, say local government and the federal government and so on? And is there a way that they can help train today's CIOs in government, not just the next generation?
Okay. I wouldn't say that the private sector CIOs are that much further ahead of their public sector counterparts. You see similar transitions and similar challenges in terms of how private sector IT is being delivered. So the whole community, if you will, federal and corporate, is going to have to be evolving, is going to be moving in a new direction. I do think that there are lessons learned that we can benefit from on both sides of the relationship. There are some clearly progressive federal CIOs who are doing some very interesting things that would be beneficial not only to their federal peers, but to their colleagues in the private sector. And there are things that the private sector is doing in terms of providing its own internal IT capability, which could be leveraged by the public sector. So the important thing is to keep talking to each other, sharing information, identifying best practices, the sort of interaction that the ACT-IACT facilitates.
It sounds like many of the skills and job duties that you see CIOs having are, as you say, people-oriented, relationship-oriented, business-oriented. So does that kind of necessarily elevate the requirements on the chief technology officers, because so that somebody has the deep technical chops to make sure that what the CIO wants can actually happen?
Yeah, that is important. The federal CIO world is always going to need enough technical chops, enough technical capability to effectively communicate with its own vendors, its own suppliers, exactly what it needs from a technology perspective. But the flip side of that also is they need to have the familiarity with the agency mission, so they can have an intelligent dialogue with those program managers and the agencies who are not techies, who don't use IT jargon, so that the CIO folks really need to be able to be close to those internal customers. By understanding the mission, they can better understand the technology that would best support the mission.
We've talked a lot about what should be happening. I want to ask you how to implement it, beginning with the resources needed. What resources do agencies need in order to do this?
They need, I think, training, particularly in the CIO world, particularly for people who are becoming supervisors for the first time in an IT environment, or second level managers, to help them develop people skills to the extent they don't already have them, so they are not only more effective managers, but can more effectively interrelate with the vendor community, with cooperators in other federal agencies, with cooperators in the state and local government agencies, where increasingly they're relying on for data and services, and even through the cloud infrastructure.
And you've mentioned state and local government several times. That seems to be a trend that wasn't so apparent or wasn't so manifest, say, in the 80s and 90s. It sounds like perhaps requirements of things like the Affordable Care Act, which bring state exchanges and federal exchanges together at some level, is informing what is going to have to happen to CIOs at the federal level.
Well, I think part of what's going on is the cost of technology in general has gone down over time. The ability of state and local governments to use technology has correspondingly increased. And quite frankly, a lot of state and local governments are in budgetary surpluses right now after a very difficult recession. So they've got, to some extent, more capacity to invest in technology than a number of federal agencies might. It's also true, though, if you think about it, Fairfax County has got much better information about what the road system looks like in Fairfax County at any given point in time than the U.S. Geological Survey might, because, you know, Fairfax County has got to be policing those roads. They've got to be maintaining those roads every day of the week. You know, the U.S. Geological Survey maybe updates its maps once every 5 or 10 years of Fairfax County. So the feds and state and local governments are getting increasingly interwoven and mutually interdependent over time. And that means managers on both sides need to have relationships that will help them get cooperation from each other and thereby improve the overall efficiency and effectiveness of services to both their citizens, federal government citizens and state and local government citizens.
And it also seems, Scott, from what you're saying, that it may be worthwhile. I don't know if agencies are doing this, but that when they are looking for leaders, they look to those people who have been leaders already in the local and state governments, as opposed to just looking within their own ranks or perhaps pulling from industry. Is that something that happens now?
It does happen occasionally, and I think it's happening increasingly. One of our findings, one of our recommendations, was it'd be very useful for senior federal IT managers to have had some experience either working for a government contractor or working for a state or local government so that they, in the IT world, so they get a sense of how the other half lives, if you will, what motivates people on the other side, what their challenges are, what their problems are. That just makes you much more effective in a relationship from your standpoint as a Fed. Another relevant finding was that it may not always make sense to promote your best techie into a managerial role. You certainly want someone who's technically competent as a manager, but especially the higher you go up the organization chart, the more important the people skills are. So agencies need to resist, I think, the natural temptation of taking their best technical specialist and putting that person in a supervisory position. That may work, but looking for the people skills, the interpersonal skills, the leadership skills is, I would suggest, just as important, if not more important, than looking for the technical skills in the managers of the future.
All right. Scott Cameron is the executive advisor at R3 Government Solutions and chair of the ACT-IAC Human Capital Shared Interest Group. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Emily. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it. And you guys do a great service for the community. So we're glad to be able to make a small contribution this morning.